Council will call the meeting of the Great River Regional Library Board of Trustees to order. Adopt or amend the agenda. We have a couple of changes. We're going to move 12.1 to right after 9.3. And we're going to swap 11.1 is going to follow 11.2. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to adopt the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The minutes were presented to you in the packet. Are there any corrections, additions, or anything you want to change? Item, so I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second, and I have to apologize for missing finance. I thought it was at 5:30. Okay. I had my calendar wrong, sorry.
Motion by George, seconded by Christine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public forum, anybody on public forum?
No.
Okay. Financials, your bills emailed and addendums emailed. This is an approval item. Any questions for finance? Anything that you want answered? Looking for a motion on that one, too.
I'll motion it.
Motion by Gary.
Second.
Seconded by Wayne. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financials report, they were also emailed or in the packet. Any questions on the financial report?
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by JC.
Jane.
Jane, I'm sorry. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Current letter of credit. It's on page 7. Amy, you want to talk about that?
New letter of credit received from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines on behalf of Bremer Bank. And this is just a new letter updated. They send them to us every once in a while when the number changes or the amount changes. In this case, the only thing that changed was the date and the letter of the number. The amount has stayed the same, but we do need to present it to you because the financials, it is noted on there. So.
Okay. We do need approval on that.
I'll move approval.
Lisa and...
I'll second.
For a second.
Yeah.
Al. Seconded by Al. Any other questions for Amy? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda. I guess that's where I should have had the change in the... Is there any other differences in the consent agenda? No. So we'll need approval for the consent agenda.
So I'll move, Randy.
I'll second.
Second it by Jane. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financial, annual financial designation update, page 11.
Oh, that's part of the consent
agenda. Oh, that's all on the consent agenda.
Yeah, that was all.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No,
communications. Library Service and Technology Act, FY 2022.
This is the final report that went into the state for the Library Services and Technology Act grant that we got last year. I wanted to share it with you because, one, it's good for you to know where the money went, but two, I think we should be really proud of the outcome of this grant. We trained a lot of staff about how to serve our public better. We held an all-staff day to help our staff understand how to work with people with mental health issues, people with disabilities, and cross-cultural communication. We also updated a number of job descriptions and have successfully recruited people as a result. And tonight we just changed a policy to update our discrimination language so we will be a more inclusive and hopefully retain more of our staff as a result. So, you know, this was forward-thinking work at a time where it was really hard to move things forward. You know, a year ago, we were still trying to figure out how to reopen libraries, but we decided we were going to do this too, and I'm really glad we did. So I just wanted to share the final report with you so that you had that background as well. And if it's okay, I can go to the logic model next.
Yep.
Unless somebody had questions about the LSTA grant at all. The logic model is one of the projects that we used our ARPA dollars for. This is a program evaluation. It includes a program evaluation plan put together for us from Wilder Research. A number of you participated in those small group meetings around building this logic model at the end of last year. And this model shows basically what are the inputs we have as a library system, what are the activities we do, what are those outputs, why do we do them, what outcomes are we trying to achieve. And then the evaluation plan is how are we going to measure that we're actually doing those things. So we have a VISTA that we have. We've been part of the VISTA Library Literacy Leadership VISTA program for the last year. Heather Bean was our VISTA for 2021-2022. She's just wrapping up her service. She's laid some groundwork on how to roll out some of the principles in this program evaluation plan, and then our new VISTA will be starting next month and pick up where she left off. And we'll also, as a result of this, you can see there's a lot of surveys and measurements we'll be doing in the coming year. Make sure that we're not just doing programming for programming's sake, that we're actually meeting the needs of our communities and our patrons as a result. So, and then using that feedback to improve it. So I'm really glad we were able to do that post-COVID and get a sense of how we should be delivering programs as we start offering more programs again. And thanks to those of you who were part of those sessions last year. I think Melissa and Al, and I think Ed was in at least one of them, and yeah, JC, and I think we may have had a few board members turn over since then too, but it was a good joint session between staff and the board. And I appreciate your input.
Anything else under communications then?
Nope.
Presentations, do you have anything to
Not add? Tonight.
No presentations. Staff report, executive director, page 49, and Karen?
Yeah, there's not too much I'll add to what's here. But if you have any questions about what's in my report, let me know. I have some things I can add under the building reports later, but I do have members of my team to speak to some of the management reports that are in the packet as well tonight. So go to that. If that's
sure.
Okay. I don't know who wants to go first. I've got Jay Roos here. I'll lead in and say, once upon a time, all of the leadership team came to every library board meeting. There's a few of you here who may remember that yet, but we've made some big shifts over time, and now not as many members of the board know the leadership team members directly. So I've asked all of our team members to come at least to one or two meetings this year and then talk about what's going on in their departments. So Jay Roos is our Information and Technology Associate Director, and he's here to talk a little bit about IT tonight.
All right, so there's a few things in my report. I'm going to kind of focus on ARPA stuff. We have the ARPA parking lot wireless project. Basically, we looked at all of our libraries and we said, who has a parking lot? All right, now, of those who has a parking lot, which cities will give us their blessing to actually mount an access point on the outside of their building facing the parking lot so we can give patrons good internet access when we're closed or when we have a pandemic or whatever? We ended up with 12 cities saying, yes, go ahead and do that. And so we got quotes, signed the quote, placed the order, and the finance committee heard tonight supply chain issues a couple times. Well, we've got one here, too. The equipment that in the past would have arrived within a month is out till February 2023. We're still going to have the cabling done, and then IT will just have to go around after the fact and put those up. This project was supposed to be all-inclusive, so we just ordered it, and vendors would take care of all the details. It's not going to work out that way, but at least we're not drilling any holes in buildings. Also, yes.
Can I ask you, what libraries are you equipping with?
I had a feeling somebody would ask, and I don't have a list in front of me.
I thought the same thing, Wayne.
Yeah. can figure out a way to get that out.
Yeah, I can email it out.
Yeah.
Point of interest.
Yeah.
I was curious. I'd guess, but I'd guess wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I would.
We were sitting at around, I don't know, 20-some that we had identified, and then either some cities just didn't respond or didn't want to do it, or in the case of, say, Cold Spring, their building situation is so up in the air, we just decided to say, maybe not.
Yeah.
The other ARPA project that's not listed here in my report is the meeting room equipment. Initially, we went into it thinking that we were going to end up with some hybrid kind of setup, something fancy. And we bought those meeting room cameras. You guys have seen, some of you at least, in the board meetings, the OWLs. And through using those, we had determined that it didn't seem like that was going to be something we could just make good use of region-wide. So a group of people got together and kind of settled on, some of our meeting rooms don't have projectors, and so we were getting projectors and laptops to go with those. And then a lot of the need around kind of remote-type meetings is more one-on-one. So we are also getting laptops for a number of libraries that are available just for people to check out and go into a study room. So these are libraries with a place to go and have privacy so that they can have a one-on-one remote meeting with a provider of some kind, whether it's medical or legal or other things. So that's what we're doing with the ARPA meeting room part of the project.
Any questions for Jay or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. The libraries that turned it down and didn't respond, I mean, there's not, but, you know, let's say Royalton turned it down.
They did not.
I mean, I would go and talk to them myself personally and say, what the heck, why don't you want to do this? You know, but I don't know if you could give that information out or not.
So we only had so much in that fund to spend anyway, okay. So actually it was okay that not everybody said yes, because otherwise, you know, we've got these, there's these federal lines where you go over a certain number and now you got to go get bids and it gets a lot more complicated. So we stayed under that number,
okay.
And we were okay with some of them. I mean, really, most of them just straight up didn't answer, did not respond.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? I think we've all, from coming from county government, that your businesses and that, really realized how important IT has been in the last 3.5 years or whatever. I mean, I imagine we've added a staff or two in our county just because of that. So, thank you. That was good. You're going to go on to...
You didn't want to... Okay, yeah. Amy talked earlier, so we're ready to go to building reports.
Okay.
I wanted to give a couple of updates to page 57. Painesville City Council last night, I think, shared the structural study for the building that they're looking at. There's been talk of a business taking over the building and then leasing the space to the city for a library instead of the city taking over the building and putting the library in there. I think those discussions are all pretty preliminary at this point, and so we're just watching that project as it goes. And then... I think Fund Development Committee, Jane and Lee, were here when I was out looking at what color the glass was out front. You'll notice coming into the building that there's a broken window. It's a $15,000 broken window, unfortunately, because that glass is no longer manufactured but once a year in a special run. So Public Works is working with Eastside Glass. We just got one of the new bids in. The glass that replaces it may not be an exact color match, but it came in at about $3,400, and it will probably be manufactured longer than what the existing glass will be. So they'll likely be moving forward with that fix. And then I was going to turn it over to Kara, who's going to fill you in on Cold Spring and Eagle Bend, right?
Okay. Is this close enough?
Yeah.
All right. I think getting a microphone in my face is...
And I should introduce you. Kara Langston's our regional, or our patron services supervisor. She oversees the branches in Todd and Morrison County and then some of the Sterling County branches as well.
Yeah, so a lot of my time has been spent recently working with the Cold Spring building project. There has been a group going around specifically looking at different fire halls and different police stations and working with an architect, and the library has been discussed sort of as an add-on to that. The one thing that has happened since I submitted my building report is that I did attend the July 12th city council meeting, and it right now what they my understanding of what they voted to move forward on were borings on the Granite Landing site, which based on my understanding of Cold Spring is across from the splash pad or near the splash pad to see if it's possible to build a standalone fire hall. What they voted on was specifically just to do the borings. So there was some talk of possibly a standalone library building and what that would look like. But we're really kind of at a point where there's kind of just discussion. Was it January that the initial initially they were going to move forward on a joint police and fire hall together, leaving city admin and the library in the current city hall. And so it's just been really interesting to kind of see the process play out. And I can't say no exactly what's going to happen yet, but I do know that the LSC, Jason, and his staff out there are doing an amazing job with the space that they have. So that's Cold Spring.
Any questions for?
You want me to hop right into Eagle Bend? Or?
Sure.
That's an action item, yep. Eagle Bend.
That's why we moved
yep,
it, right?
That's why we moved it.
So...
is page
12.1.
Page 89.
89 in your packet.
85 is what?
I think 85.
Yeah.
Yep, 85, 86, 87.
You want me to just give a... Okay. So really we're just asking for a formal approval of a discussion that's been ongoing. Initially... We don't have an architect who's working on the design process. Initially, this was meant to be an extension that would house the museum that's currently inside Eagle Bend, the Eagle Bend branch, and that would free up quite a bit of the floor space for the library. Now it sounds like the library might be able to use some of that space within the museum addition. Currently, they have concrete poured, and I was just out there today to talk with Kathy, the LSC, and Janie Tranum about the collection and what we need to do as we move forward with this process. And there are clearly people working there. They have, I guess, studs. I am not a construction person. Obviously, I am in libraries. So I could not accurately tell you what they were working on. But they were out there working. My goal as far as getting a more concrete layout, I believe it's what page is the actual layout? That the floor plan, yeah, is on page 87. And so you can kind of see that additional box off to the side. I am going to be getting some dates that... hopefully Steve Lex and I can go out and meet with the contractor to talk about where cable can be run. And that'll kind of determine where we can put the circulation desk, where we can put internet stations, those sorts of things. That sort of final layout really depends on talk with the contractor to determine what that wall in between that section is going to look like and where we can put our technology.
This is an action item. So we'll need a motion to approve.
I'll move it.
Motion by Gary.
I'll second. I'll second.
Seconded by George. Any other questions?
They're putting stud walls up. Is what they're.
That was my gut reaction. I was like, I think those are studs. But I don't. I also like. The outside walls are going up. There we go. Oh, I could probably go borrow a book on basic construction.
We're talking about rafters tomorrow or something.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
We're talking about rafters tomorrow.
Well, that's what we stopped by Ace Hardware, and that's what we weren't able to speak with Jess, but yeah, that's what they said. So it, yeah, it's moving.
Okay. Any other questions?
Jared, how's the financial stuff for this? How is that being financed? The expansion?
The city.
The city's
financing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Fabulous. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of our policy. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a very slow-moving project. If you've been on the board a long time, you'll remember when Todd County, I think, had it up on forfeiture, and the city of Eagle Bend was thinking about buying it, and then the piece of land that this expansion went on, and like the concrete's been there
but
for a while.
Quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it's been a very slow project, but it's the little city that could. I mean, when you think about Cold Spring versus Eagle Bend, the existing space that Eagle Bend is in with the museum right now is bigger than the current Cold Spring Library, just to give you some perspective.
Eagle Bend is, what, less than 1,000 people?
Yeah. It's really interesting to see some of these projects kind of running parallel to each other because they look so different between Painesville, Eagle Bend, and Cold Spring.
Any other questions, comments? Always a call to question. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, too, for your reports. Look forward to maybe one more time this year, yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
I've got reading material, building construction, right?
Go get that book out.
Oh, man. I
bet you'll have to place a hold on. Or right. You'll have to. I'm sure there's not even one in hand.
Yeah.
So many people are reading it.
Yeah. I'm the only one that
needs
that right now. 6:30,
She said we can call whenever. So I can talk a little bit about the next couple of reports too, but you'll want to make time for these maybe
before.
Yeah. What do we got? 8 minutes?
Yeah.
I'll go quick. So the second quarter strategic plan reports are in your packet. This is a new format, like I said last time, and you can see how second quarter is progressing. We are starting to see some movement in that current resident borrower metric for the first time in a really long time. We aren't yet where we were in January, but we have seen increases in that total. If you look on page 59, we were at 82,922 on January 1st. We dropped down to 82,039 in April. We are back up to 82,302 at the end of June. That's the first time we've seen a month-over-month increase, 2 months in a row, in I don't remember how long. So we're really excited to see that move. I'm sure Finds Free had something to do with that. Amy had talked about this earlier in the financial report, but for those of you who weren't on the Finance Committee, last year we were averaging, before we went Finds Free, $13,520 a month in the Fines and Miscellaneous Revenue line. We only budgeted $40,000 for the whole year. And we've already collected more than $50,000 to date. So we underestimated how much of fines revenue was actually in that line. Print and copy is still pretty strong, and lost materials is still coming in. So we are doing a little better than we expected in that budget line, even though we made that big change from fines free. I think, it's just great to see how much progress we're still making in a strategic area when it feels like we've just been kind of seeing how far we can spread the peanut butter lately. So I'm really grateful to the dedication of our staff in helping us to continue to move things forward across the region. If you look on page, I think 62 is probably the better one to look at. This is that month over month. Or year over year, quarter two, new borrowers by library. This report is why we're starting to see that total borrower increase. We are seeing more and more new borrowers coming back into the doors of the library. And if you look on page 65, that's our total circulation. St. Cloud Library is finally starting to see an increase in circulation. The reason that's significant is St. Cloud historically has been to a quarter to a third of the total circulation for the region. So once that number starts moving up, that total regional number moves a little faster. We are up year over year, 1% total for physical materials, and then digital materials are still up 8.6% over our record numbers from last year. So really strong activity. If you're okay, we can go to staff reports. I think we'll be talking more about this later. I would want to point out on page 67, we have some really great staff who've been here 1, 3, and 5 years. This is one of the first time I've seen a staff recognition report that didn't include someone who wasn't here more than 5 years. So I think that's one of the shifts that's starting to happen is our retirees are leaving and people aren't staying quite as long as they used to. We are still seeing some promotions and the exit interviews too on page 71 through 70. We have roughly the same number of exit interviews every half a year, but what we are seeing is a lot more people are leaving for full-time or asking for full-time. Pay is coming up more than it ever has in these exit interviews, and people are just feeling underappreciated in general. So hopefully there's ways we can help people who are here continue to feel appreciated as we move into the coming year. That was a lot of content in a short amount of time.
Thank you.
Yep.
So then we'll move on to committee reports. 10.1, finance, Lee.
Nothing really unusual in the report. I was given a good summary of the finance report. I made a note of it and then forgot. I think that Karen can probably fill that in just fine. But, yeah, I made a mental note and lost my notes.
I think if we wanted it in a nutshell, the first half of the year, overall, the budget's running at
48%.
Yeah, 48%, which is kind of surprising when we're seeing large increases in some budget categories like fuel and vehicle expenses. Personnel is running under. I think that's partly due to the turnover and the challenge we've had in filling some of the vacant positions.
One thing, it isn't part of the finance report, but we've never, for some of the new facilities that we have coming online and over the relatively recent past, there have been a few, and you just heard about another one in progress. Does a new facility in a specific market necessarily trigger an increase in traffic? Now, it sure seems like in some cases it's remarkable. I'm thinking, you know, our representative here from Sartell that really had a remarkable effect there, to the extent that it's also, the facility is also used as a local senior facility. Did that have anything to do with it? But do new facilities create interest in what we're trying to do? And I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but I didn't. But that'd be an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm. Anything
doesn't
else?
Mean we go out there and tear down everything we got and build new,
yeah,
if indeed it shows an increase. But there's got to be local support, obviously.
Right. This is an action item, Lee, so we'll need this is an action item, so we need to have a...
Yeah, are you willing to settle for that for a report?
Is that a motion?
I hope so.
I'll second.
Motion's been made by Lee, seconded by Lisa for the financial report. Any other discussion or questions, comments from the Finance Committee? We did discuss our fleet of vehicles a little bit, that they're up there in miles, and we need to maybe take a little harder look at how we're going to replace them, but that's for more to come. So, anything else?
Chair, are they on a like revolving cycle at this point, or
in theory, but we haven't been able to purchase new vehicles, which has been the issue. And even used are outside of our price range right now, really.
And we're pushing 300,000 miles on all of them.
Yeah. But we should be getting a new one end of August, first part of September. That's just an energy in that way. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to personnel.
We had three items that we approved. The first one was merging the technical services aide position with the technical services clerk position. This would allow people to do work as it comes in, and then staff would be able to grow skills because they would be merging those two positions. It would also be a pay increase for anyone in the services aide position, and that would also support retention and recruitment. Any questions on that?
Lynn, is that what you were talking about? Lynn?
Yes.
Is that what you were talking about?
No, you were talking about the HR.
Oh, no, I was talking about combined, when they were thinking about combining accounting and human resources.
And that's the second item we approved was reorganizing to separate HR, the HR generalist duties related to payroll into a payroll generalist position. And let me look at my notes. So payroll will now move to accounting. And that is a budget-neutral change as well. Anything else, personnel committee, that I need to add to that? No? Okay. And the final thing we approved was part of the LSTA grant. We had some changes in language, which if you look on, let's see, I don't remember what page it was on, but anyway, it's in the personnel committee packet towards the back. There, it's at the very
last two
end,
pages,
and it's in blue. So it's just to help support. It came out of our work that we did this winter or last year, I guess, late last year, and it would also help retain and recruit because it makes our language more inclusive. That's all I have. So if anyone has any questions.
You want to make a motion?
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Motion been made by
Melissa.
And
Lynn.
To approve the personnel report. Any other discussion?
I want to recognize Amy Anderson for wearing two hats for the last month and a half.
Yes.
She's done a really amazing job doing it. So thank you, Amy.
Yep. Anything else? Otherwise, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Fund Development Committee?
I think Lee was going to give the report.
Yeah, things are going surprisingly well in that particular area. I personally underestimated. What I'm discovering with fundraising is that you have to realize different people have different priorities, different hot buttons, and if you got to figure out a way to determine whatever you're trying to raise money for, who are the folks that would be interested in being involved in it. And the library folks, on one hand, it's frustrating for me because obviously we've got names, addresses up the yin yang on contacts that we can use, just can't use them for that purpose. So despite that limitation, we're seeing surprising success in that area. I don't have a number exactly for you, but I am mildly surprised at the success that we're enjoying. And as I learned more about it, I'm anticipating that to be more so going forward. we're getting smarter as we go and trying to identify that market, I guess, would be the business term for folks that are like that. Yeah. We don't have a local Andrew Carnegie. How's that? But we got some people that are interested.
Never know. Yes, just that right connection sometimes.
Thanks.
All I got.
Thanks, Lee. Anybody else have anything? And we'll move on to Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
Can I do that one?
Sure.
Our meeting was on July 19th. We are having some financial issues with reporting our financials correctly. There was a changeover in the people that were doing that for us, and the chair, board chair, and treasurer feel that confident that that will be corrected soon. So if there's any questions when you, if you do read the financials, it's a little bit different right now, but should be corrected soon. Our bylaws were updated. Funding for the mini grants will be looked at again in September. We're waiting for our audit to get done to see how much reserve we have, to see how much we can put into the mini grants. Our meetings were set for next year. We did change the date of our meetings, which will be now the second Wednesday of the month. Our State Library Service Grant request was approved, and we said goodbye to two of our long-term members, Bethany Kaufman and Mary Eberly, and short-term member Ed Pop. And our next meeting will be September 21st. That's all I have.
Anything else? Okay. Then I guess at this time we're going to move into closed session to discuss labor negotiations. And we'll be calling our attorney. So
we need to say that.
So.
And make a motion, I think.
Before we go to closed session. State of the record specifically for grounds permitting closure and discuss subjects to be discussed, closing the meeting for labor negotiation strategy pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.03. So I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Motion by, and is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Jane for second. We're going to go back to 11.1, the 2023 budget proposal and discussion. It's on page 77.
This is our last look at the budget. We do need a budget passed tonight per our joint powers agreement. This is the same budget we've looked at the last couple of meetings. If you have any questions about it, I can answer them.
Is this where we're going for 2023, or is this...
This is the 2023 budget. Yep. So you can see in the last column what's been budgeted by line. Revenue is on page 79 in terms of breakdown by county. And then the full county signatory factor table is on page 84.
That's pretty much the one that counties are interested in, right?
And the overall budget for Great River is a 3.14% increase. But you can see on page 84 in the bottom right-hand corner that that breaks down differently on the counties because of the way revenues have shifted.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
There's $60,500 allocated for vehicles, and it sounds like how many vehicles do we have that we...
This is just the annual amount. There's actual dollar. That's a capital budget, so that's a dollar amount that's kind of set aside in a savings account, so to speak. So this is the amount that we'll put in the savings account for vehicles next year.
Is that going to be enough? If we have all vehicles kind of dying?
Yes, there is a balance.
Okay.
If we can find a vehicle to buy.
There's nothing available. That's been the issue.
Yep. It's a supply issue. It's not necessarily a dollars allocation issue. Although, I suppose if we wanted to spend $100,000 on a van we normally would spend $30,000 on, we could probably do that, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Did this budget take into effect any using any reserves like we have?
Yep, the reserves are on You can see it on page 79. This year, the 2022 budget, you can see the surplus was rolled over from the prior year budget. It was $401,000. And then for 2023, that goes down to $313,860 in that gray column on the right. That amount was last year's surplus. So that was set back in November. And then the cash reserves amount was $315,218 from 2022. According to our spend down plan, we went to $230,000 this year. So for 2023, there's a total of $543,000 of reserves altogether built into the operating budget.
That was just money that was rolled over. We haven't.
That first line was rollover money, $313,000. Yeah. But the $230,000 is from cash reserves.
Okay. Comments from commissioners? You're the ones that your board's going to have to look at.
Just a clarification, so under population, percentage of population share, is that the increase in the population? Is that what that means, if that's the increase?
That's the proportion of the budget. So the formula is a three-part formula. Yep. It's population, net tax capacity, and borrower numbers. That percentage amount is, we take the Great River total population, and that's your percentage of that total population. So it's not necessarily a year-over-year increase. It just shows how many of the people in Great River are Wright County, Stearns County, Todd County, Benton Morrison.
And that's using the current 2020 census, I think.
That was the most current, yep.
So you're saying that Wright County, as Christine's question,
48.41% of the 497,000 people.
Yeah. 31% of user shares.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, because borrower numbers as a whole shrunk, that percentage didn't change a whole lot between the counties. But what we are seeing in Wright County is that St. Michael Library is just really taken off. I don't know when they're ever going to slow down. Like, there's a lot of people in St. Michael that weren't there a couple years ago, and that's driving some of that formula.
409 new homes in Otsego, and a lot of them are just right surrounding St. Michael, and 251 new homes in St. Michael. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
A lot of people.
That's more than some of our towns with libraries on the other side of the region.
At almost 700 new homes, you know, in 1 year. That's just craziness.
Yeah.
In just two over cities.
Any other comments? Lisa? Comments?
What I would like to see, if you can provide for me just like the last maybe like 6 year average.
Yeah. Sherburne County, I'll probably tweak the budget. If you want me to do budget presentations at your county, last couple of years we haven't done the table, but I think Sherburne County's is the most telling, because if you look back, this actually puts Sherburne County close to what they were paying, I think, 6 years ago, because they've seen year-over-year decreases for so long. So that's what some of these numbers are showing is, yeah, it's a steep increase year-over-year, but it's partly because the reserves went down and then partly because we've actually decreased the amount the county's paid for so long that it's starting to catch up with us a little bit.
If you can be prepared for that, that's going to be helpful.
I'm sure that I'd appreciate that, too.
Yep. We've still got the slides. We'll update the table and bring it along. It's new again. Every county looks different, though.
This is an action item, so if you're satisfied and you want this presented to the county board.
We're going to start somewhere.
Yeah. So this is going to be pretty much hit when you present it to the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what it's going to
be. Won't change.
What?
Won't change.
No change?
Oh, this won't change that much.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the state number might come in under or over, right. But then that gets incorporated into future yeah. spending, really.
Well, I'd move approval.
Lee made the motion.
I'll second.
And Wayne seconded it. Any other discussion on that part? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
In the current budget for 2022, Elk River contributed dollars for an additional 3 open hours. You can see on page 89 that agreement was a 5-year agreement that's expiring. In the budget we just passed, we didn't budget anything from the city of Elk River because that agreement wasn't renewed. I've had some conversations with the mayor via email. One of the things he wanted to point out is that in the past 5 years, we've added more hours for almost every library in the system. That's in reference to that 27 library increase we did last year. And they're the only ones paying for additional open hours. They would like those additional 3 hours sustained in Elk River at no cost to the city going forward. That's their ask. Our staff sat down and looked at, you know, open hours. In the past, we've used circulation data to kind of figure out where libraries should be, and we kind of messed with that last year when we added open hours in so many locations. But right now, there's St. Cloud that's open 59 open hours, and that's about a quarter of our usage right now is in the St. Cloud Library as a region. And then Elk River has 51 because of the additional 3. And then Buffalo has 48, and St. Michael has 47. If we look at borrowers, circulation in line, the library is up. St. Michael's kind of grown. If we were going to do something, we would put St. Michael where Elk River's at. They're actually circulating a little more than Elk River right now. I don't know if that'll change as Elk River recovers, but Elk River hasn't started to recover. So it's hard for us from a usage standpoint to justify having Elk River at a higher level of open hours than any other library besides St. Cloud, unfortunately. But it's up to this board to decide whether we'd want to continue those extended open hours in Elk River once the city no longer contributes. That being said, the estimated cost has gone down significantly because the way we staff has changed from the way we did it 5 years ago. The usage has declined, so we just don't have as many people working in the building as we did 5 years ago. So I guess I need from this board discussion tonight just a general direction on where you want to go with this agreement. Elk River's asking that we absorb those hours.
Do you know how much, what the dollar number that is?
We guessed about $6,500 a year.
A year. That's what
it's, okay. And they were paying, it started out at $9,800, and then with staffing increases, that went up to $12,000 most recently.
Karen, not to digress, but the gift from the private citizen.
Yeah, that's still in legal.
Right,
eventually,
right,
that'll be there.
And I know it's not really related, but at the same time, something will happen, right?
Yeah, eventually we could potentially tap it for that if we really wanted to. Maybe call it the Marcelle Carlson Hour. I don't know.
What are the traffic patterns?
They're declining. Right now, Elk River has not recovered from COVID. We've seen month over month.
Okay, and beyond that, you know, do they have an early morning crowd? Could we meet some of their needs by shifting the hours, opening later in the morning, staying open a little bit later in the evening?
Right now, those 3 hours are actually filling in a block of time to make the hours consistent in the morning and the evening. There is a chunk of time, I think it was Wednesday evening, that just doesn't get used a whole lot. So if we were going to take it out, we would take it from the least used hours of the schedule.
Thinking that without any adjustment, by just changing hours, we could accomplish some of what I think they want. I mean, I'm not a mind reader, but...
Is some of their decline related to Otsego, the growth in Otsego? okay. shifting towards St. Michael versus
possibly. It's hard to know.
They're very close to one another, right. You know, within, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, they have the same zip code so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. George, so, comment.
You said the usage is in there, right?
Because if we were just going to do this from pure numbers, we wouldn't have 51 open hours in Elk River.
I mean, if the usage isn't there, why would we do it? That doesn't make sense to me.
And my, go ahead.
No, I don't.
So, no. Yeah, with the sheer one, if we reduce it and if the hours aren't there, we can always, oh, what, you know, next year, 2 years down the road, we can revisit this again.
Do you think it'd be hard to reduce the hours, or are we, will it be, I mean, we just do it and do it? Or?
I don't think it would be hard to reduce okay. because we still have staffing vacancies we haven't filled, okay. so we would just not fill them. You know, we'll try to fill them, but we would fill them at a different level.
Okay.
That was going to be my question. So nobody would lose hours. There wouldn't be anybody there losing no. hours.
I was wondering if they could do a survey of how busy they are. Do we ever do that? Like,
we can pull like circulation by hour reports out of Horizon. So we can see that I believe it was Wednesday evening. There's a chunk of time that's just not getting used as much as the rest of the week.
It is a nice interim position. We're monitoring the situation, collecting more data. Hmm. Looks like we're trying, and we are. Just we want to know.
And we'll be doing, you know, as you say that, we will be doing the full library development policy and plan update in October as okay. a presentation to the board. At that point, you know, we mm. could have done a deeper analysis of it and make a recommendation around Elk River specifically. Even if we don't continue them in 2023, like you said, we could look at it in future years too.
So what direction do you want Karen to move on this?
I'll make a motion that we reduce the hours from 51.
We really don't need a motion. We just need some direction for you, right?
Oh. Yeah, if the city doesn't renew the agreement.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a motion, but I'd rather put her on the spot. I think that would be something.
She can blame the board.
Absolutely.
It's easy.
Things were going your way until Randy spoke up.
Well, that would be my recommendation. So.
Okay. Any other comments? Differential comments?
All right.
Okay. So you got a little direction
there. The only
there.
Other comment I have is I imagine with these, the branches that we did add hours to, we're going to be monitoring those also just to see.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't necessarily increased because of usage. That's what makes it really hard. So, yeah, we're going to continue to monitor it. If we can't staff it,
right.
that's exactly. going to be for sure.
It's because that new you know? Road's going around Elk River and everyone wants to go to the library.
Yeah, I mean, really, it could have been construction-related, some
it's
of it.
Awful. Yeah.
I mean,
it could be. It
the
could
last
be.
5 years
no
is...
No one's going to Elk River. I don't even know.
That is a cluster there. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my
but, like, you didn't hear me when I came in here. I think the same engineer designed St. Cloud who designed Elk River, but we're redoing Elk River now. So we'd like to see St. Cloud follow suit.
Okay. Anything else on others?
No.
Okay. Open forum? Anything on the board for open forum?
No, I want to share one thing, and it's a sad thing, but just a friend of mine's nephew died unexpectedly this last week, and in his obituary, his name is Lewis Palmerston, a St. Cloud resident. He graduated from Tech, St. Cloud Tech, in 94. But it says in lieu of flowers, his family would prefer donations to NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, or the St. Cloud Great River Regional Public Library.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So I know the family well, and he was a great young man. So,
anything else? Anybody want to share anything else?
And his memorial service tomorrow is at Munsinger Gardens tomorrow evening. Okay. So please keep them in your thoughts.
Okay. Next meeting is August 16th.
Do we need it?
I don't know.
We'll hold it if we need it for negotiations, but at this point I don't have a topic, so.
Okay.
Are we okay with?
We okay with just making the decision?
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. I don't.
He was already planning to come to it. You know?
No, there'll be no meeting.
No meeting, and September would be the next regular meeting then.
So we need motion to adjourn. George, motion. Is there a second? Whatever. Dane, second. We're adjourned.